Without further ado, let's say hello to the president of hockey operations for the Calgary Flames, Mr. Brian Burke. How are things? This is we appreciate you coming in today, and there's a great event coming up we'll get to, but a tough couple nights for the club on the road here.
Yeah, we obviously went into Chicago to start this trip, but obviously the a sensible starting point for a California trip is to travel from Calgary to Chicago and then fly all the way back to San Jose.
Illinois is very close, I'm told, to California.
Tough start there. Score probably didn't match the game. Then going to San Jose and win, and then two tough nights back-to-back, L.A., Anaheim. So not happy with the way we played, and we've got to fix it.
Why the travel? There was a day off, mandatory day off or something? Like, is there something to that? Because I got to imagine the guys would have rather stayed in Chicago and just hunkered in, too.
Well, what do you mean, why the day off?
Well, why would you travel to San Jose after the game?
I always go to the next city after a game.
No matter what?
No matter what. The only difference would be in the playoffs when we were in the finals against Ottawa and we were in the conference finals against Detroit. When I was in Anaheim, we traveled to Detroit or to Ottawa day after the game. So say we played game one and two in the finals at home, practice at home the next day, then fly. In general, my rule is, and if the coach wanted it differently, he could have asked, but my rule is you get to where you're going, and then you have your day off there.
Fans are obviously, this is a tough weekend. It looked, there was a really good stretch there. You win back-to-back nights, Chicago, St. Louis. You play Washington tough at home. You beat Ottawa. The solid start in Chicago, and you're right, the score wouldn't have told the story. The better club through 40 minutes was your club. You get a great performance from Tkachuk. I mean, it was six games in a row. But it feels like a lot of that was given back. You've been through this way more than the fans. What's the patient long term? Where's the perspective here that you can lend us?
Well, I'm not happy about the way we played the last two games. I mean, we basically gave them the puck on all the goals in both games. Last night, first goal, just put it right on Ryan Getzlaff's stick. And to me, there's three things that we have to focus on. And one would be turnovers are killing us right now. And when we make a turnover, it seems to be disastrous. It's not a small mistake. It's ending up in our net or ending up with a real quality scoring chance. So number one is puck management and puck security for me. Number two is special teams. We saw Ray Light when we went into Chicago. The power play started to click a little bit. But now both special teams at fault last night. I think Anaheim had two or three power play goals. And then the third thing is our top guys aren't getting it done. And I'm not one for calling players out or naming names, but our top guys are not playing up to their level. It's that simple. And early in the season, you could point to new coach, new systems. Johnny and Monty both missed training camp. Those were all legitimate reasons for a slow start. They're not legitimate reasons now. 15 games in or 14 games in, whatever it is, those are excuses now.
Are you seeing anything with them? I mean, you've been around guys like this before. Is it the new contracts? Do you think they're squeezing it?
I think with a couple guys, obviously you've got guys entering into new contracts, new postal codes in terms of money.
Yeah.
And I think that's very common in my experience, because I'll be 30 years in the business next May. So that's how long I've been doing this. And it came to roost, a fan emailed me and said, you're going to be 30 years in May. And I've seen this happen probably 50 times in that time, where you give a new player a contract, so he has 70 points the year before, and he thinks in his mind, well, now I got to get 90 points. And he ends up squeezing the stick or trying to do too much. He goes Lone Ranger on you, and all of a sudden he's not going to even get 60 points. So to me, I feel there's some of that with the guys. But again, 15 games, that works for 10 games. Maybe I can live with that. So, okay, I get it. And you tell the players when you sign them to long-term contracts and give them money, you tell them, don't change your game. Don't think you have to do more just because you're getting paid more. We're paying you for what you've done so far, but I've seen it happen, I don't know, like I say, 50 times, maybe 100.
It's one of those things that makes those guys great to begin with, though, right? They want to be that guy.
Yeah, and I'm not, and there's no lack of effort. You know, like this is not, if I felt this was a sweat issue and the players weren't working hard, I'd be frying them right now. I'd be frying them by name and number right now. I don't think it's that at all. In fact, I know it's not. It's not a sweat issue. It's not an effort issue. You're just not getting it done. You have to execute.
So somewhat critical of those guys, but your other lines have been really good. The Backlund line, I think he's been great this year. Bennett has been pretty good, aside from a few stupid penalties. But I feel like those two lines
fourth
have been
line's been great as well.
Yeah.
There are, and this is, and I appreciate you saying that, because obviously you do look for rays of sunshine when it's dark, you know, like, and so you say to yourself, good Lord, 5-0. Yeah. And so you say to yourself, well, what's going right? I think Michael Frolik's having the best year of his career. Bax has been great. Like you can point to individual stages been great. I think Derek Englund, you can make a case, has been our best defenseman.
I agree. Yeah.
And so, you know, that, which is great for those guys, but those guys playing their best aren't enough to beat a team where the top players are playing their best. That's the problem. So you're in a bit of a mismatch there. If your third line's playing great and their first line's playing great, you're probably going to lose. So that's, we need to get the top guys going here.
Thoughts on goaltending now?
I think the goaltending's been fine. If you look at the, I mean, it's easy to say 5-0, 4-1. Goaltending's not been great, but I don't fault either goaltender for any of the saves. They both battled in the two games. I'm a big believer that the goaltender only has to make one save. After that, it's somebody else's fault. So you look at the Cogliano goal last night, that's a back check problem.
Yep.
Goaltender makes the first save, back checker doesn't catch him, it's in the net. How do you fault the goaltender for that? So to me, I think the goaltending, I thought Brian Elliott had a shaky start to the season, but I think Chad Johnson's been good from day one. And I think Brian Elliott's been really good lately.
It's funny. It's a silver lining of sorts. If you are going to get better results on your special teams, which you are, you're not going to finish with the percentages you're at now. It would be historically awful, and things will work themselves out. And your top players are going to return to the guys that they just are and have been their whole careers. There's a whole lot of room for improvement here. I guess that's what's part of the frustration, but it's also a silver lining of sorts.
I agree. And that's why no one's calling players out by name or screaming at them or questioning their integrity or questioning their effort. This is a case of we believe in these guys. We've got to get it going. We've got to get our special teams back. We've got to manage the puck better, and our top guys got to get going.
I just wanted your thoughts, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since it happened, but the contract kicks in for Matthew Tkachuk. What have you thought of the young man?
Well, I've always sent my guys back. This I believe 18-year-olds belong in the CHL. I've always sent them back. I sent Nazem Kadri back. I sent Bobby Ryan back. This kid forced us to keep him. And players usually make that decision for you. But you get to a point where a Connor McDavid or a 1 or 2 or 3 pick is almost automatic now. Teams are keeping them whether they earn a spot in camp or not. Now you get down to 9, 10, whatever. So you get a pick like this at 6, and usually that kid's going to go back. I think Matthew Tkachuk forced our hand here, and I really think the best thing for him and for us is to be here for this year. I think at the end of this year, we're going to have a much more complete hockey player than we'd have if we sent him back to London.
Now, and I agree with you. I think he's played great and he's fit in. But is it part of the issue with the CHL and that agreement? Like, because there's nowhere else to send a kid like that. Should he not be able to go play in the AHL or somewhere else that might develop them? Because there's kids that might not quite be good enough to make the NHL, but junior's not the right move.
Well, I think this is a debate that's gone on in the NHL for years. They call it the return rules in the NHL, that a player must return to junior. That was put in to protect the CHL. And I think if we're going to use the CHL as our primary development tool, we've got to protect the CHL. We own a team in the Western Hockey League. We support the return rules, believe me. But I think that the notion that if you could send a guy to the American League as an 18-year-old, that's a pretty tough league for an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
You know how good the American League is. I don't think a lot of people that are listening right now have seen how good a league it is. If you don't go to a game, it's a good league. So I'm not sure too many 18-year-olds would thrive there either. So the balance has been, okay, maybe there's the odd kid. Like Tkachuk could probably play in the American League. Yeah. I'm sure he could.
Type of player.
He's a mean kid. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have wanted to put Morgan Riley back in the American League as an 18-year-old. So, to me, I think the balance makes sense. It keeps the CHL strong, and it makes sense overall. You get the odd kid where you say, geez, this one kid I'd like to send to the American League, but I think that overall it makes sense.
Tell us about the Super Skills competition coming up early December here at the Dome, a chance for fans to get up close and personal with the team.
Yeah, this is a cool event. The Super Skills is at on Saturday, December 3rd. And it's 11:30 a.m. The doors open. We have an open practice to the public, and then people stay for the event. Not open practice. I mean, people that have purchased tickets, obviously. The tickets are $10, and all proceeds go to the Calgary Flames Foundation. Some of our friends at Hockey Calgary are using this as a youth hockey fundraiser. So guys in minor hockey can sell tickets to the event and keep $4 from the purchase price. But again, I want it clear because you hear that and you say, well, if they're giving $4 to minor hockey, why don't they give all the money to minor hockey? It's all for charity.
Right.
But they can use this, earmark the funds as a fundraiser for minor hockey. Skills competitions, fastest skaters, shooting accuracy. It's a lot of fun. The players enjoy it. Good interaction with the fans. A good family event. And our partners at Sport Check have stepped up to help us put this together.
Just, I'm just curious because I know this team specifically in Calgary hasn't had this event in a while. Why the idea to bring it back?
I think our fans like it. Let me step back. And Rhett knows this is true. Like, I insist on community involvement with my players and my teams more than any other GM, I think, maybe that's ever worked in this league. I haven't had to sell that here. This is part of the DNA of the Calgary Flames. Our ownership group, all they do is philanthropic ventures in the city. Calgary Flames Foundation has put millions and millions and millions of dollars back into charities in Southern Alberta. We're very proud of the role we play in this. So we've tried to do a couple events, a couple team events, and this is one we're going to do. We did Paint the Town Red the last couple of years. That was a great success, but we're mixing it up. Bring back the super skills and see how it goes. So we do a lot here, and this will be a really good event on behalf of charity. A
couple great coaches, too.
Yeah, you guys are celebrity coaches?
Well, Boom Boom's in Bahamas. He'll be back. He'll be tanned on the bench after
any advice?
A half month in the tropics. But yeah, Retro, I think, might have the slight coaching edge.
Yeah, we'll see. He was a defenseman, so.
Don't okay, overthink guys, it. Off the glass and out. We're forwards, coach. You know what I do like about this? Some of your biggest fans and the most passionate people of the sport are young kids that play the game. Yeah. They have the posters on the wall. They idolize your players. They wear the jerseys. They're late starts. Tickets can be expensive. Yeah. This is one of these events where I think it is so key that you have because of that, because it's not easy to get a seven-year-old to a game if you want them to be a functional student the next day and if you don't want to, you know, pull a bunch of greens, reds, and browns out of your wallet.
Yeah, no, I think our ticket prices are fair, but they're costly for a lot of people, and I think you're exactly right. This is something where a whole family could go and really enjoy it. We have to make sure we don't skip a generation of fans in pro sports. You have to make sure that kids go to games. I heard a guy lecturing at some sports law class, and they've got data out now that say if a family brings a kid, boy or girl, to a sporting event, a pro sporting event, before the age of 8, that kid is 10 times more likely, or whatever, I don't have the exact stat here, more likely to become a season ticket holder himself or a sure. fan himself. So we've got to make sure what we keep the kids involved, and this is a great way to do it.
I want to ask a question because my kids are in minor hockey, and parents are doing this yep. and that and spending money. You know the number off the top of your head, what the odds are of a kid making the NHL?
You got these. I tell the parents this all the time. I went to Harvard Law School. It's a pretty elite group. Your kid has a better chance of going to Harvard Law School than he does of playing in the National Hockey League.
Don't forget that.
That's so depressing. But the parents, youth hockey parents, are our greatest ally, our greatest asset. They make the whole thing work, volunteer coaches. And sometimes they're our greatest liability, too. And so, you know, we're concerned about the behavior of parents at games. We're concerned that kids play the game and have fun and just get better. We're concerned about 12-month hockey, which none of us support. We're concerned about the cost of hockey.
Yeah.
So these are all – we'll come on some other time after the season and talk about minor hockey because I think it's a topic that deserves a lot of time.
It's been, geez, you're coming up, 3 years now with the organization. Is obviously you're comfortable with the city, but 3 years, what is it when you look back, how does it feel being in Calgary and the role that you've been in?
Well, I love it. I feel that it's a gift really to get a chance to work here. I've told this story. I think Rhett's heard it. I was here for the Olympics in 1988 and we rented a house. Pat Quinn and Sandra Quinn and I rented a house to stay to save money. We couldn't get a hotel. And, I remember standing on the C train platform and looking around, and it was so beautiful. And I said to Pat, geez, I hope I could work here someday. And Pat said, you'd love it. You'd love Alberta. If you get a chance to work in Calgary ever, take it. So I think it's a great gift here. And that's a silver lining. You know, you get fired by one job, and there's always a silver lining, or often a silver lining. And the silver lining is I got to work here. I love living here. I bought a house in Renfrew. I've really enjoyed it. I got a Ford F-150 with a cracked windshield, so I fit right in with everybody else. it's been wonderful. I'm not happy where our team is right now, but I do believe if I look at the group, it's like silver lining, like Rhett was saying. Okay, we've got some guys who are playing really well right now, and we've got more core young players than most teams are, you know, would look at with envy to say, I'd like to have that young group of players. So I think the future's bright, but that's not a good thing to say. You say the future's bright, we got to win games now.
Appreciate your time today. Kind of you to do so, and always good to have you in. Anytime you're willing, we love having you on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There's Brian Burke, President of Hockey Operations for the Calgary Flames. A reminder, the Super Skills coming up December 3rd, 11:30. It's a $10 ticket. All of it going to charity. Head to the Flames website for more information.